We've got a full house here today, so let everyone settle down. And as you're settling down, turn to your bulletin. It's on the second page for the call to worship. And straightforward, I'm the leader, you're the people, and we are all. So, come, out of moments of despair, out of moments of joy, out of your everydays, out of heights, out of depths, come as you are. Come worship the one who loves us.
We come to wait for the one who redeems us. We wait for the Lord.
Oh, wait for the Lord. And now we shall sing a song.
And for those of you that are able, please stand.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, or walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Blessing you pour out of, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, when there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name.
Welcome here again this morning. There are lots of guests here because it's a special day with babies. So how about if you're here especially because there is a child being dedicated today, please stand up. Welcome here. And is there anybody else who'd like to be introduced that is here, not because of the babies, but just here, because of my presence. Welcome here. It's a beautiful day today. So, I just have a few announcements. There's all kinds of things going on outside of the church, and, well, all kinds, a few things compared to last month. But you can check those out. And I have one special one that came in after the fact that is on my phone, and I'm going to read out to you. So, Mennonite Church Manitoba, MCM, will have a second meeting to discuss what it means to create space according to the Being a Faithful Church recommendations passed in Saskatoon last July. They hope to meet either Monday, January 23rd, or Tuesday, January 24th in southern Manitoba. I guess there was a meeting this last week or the week or this week, whenever the storm was this past week, and so lots of people didn't come, so they're having an extra meeting in southern Manitoba for those people who obviously couldn't travel that day. The agenda and background information will be on our website soon. We'll let you know the location of this meeting very shortly. We encourage people who attended the meeting in the Fort Garry Mennonite Fellowship to consider attending this meeting as well, so we can better hear and understand each other. And then there's contact information for Ken Workington with Mennonite Church Manitoba. You can get in contact there. So like lots of people, this is an important discussion for the church, and the more people who have input, the better. It would be how it would work. So I'm going to highlight a few announcements. Maybe before I do that, is there anyone who would have something to highlight themselves? I know Tim has something to say, to share. Yeah, do you want to come up? Or is there someone has a microphone? Ingrid has a microphone. He probably doesn't want to come up right now.
This morning I received word that my grandfather, Don Ringer, passed away late last night. He had Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and high blood pressure and diabetes. So it's a bit of a relief, but it's also still very sad for my family. So if you keep us in your prayers, that would be really appreciated.
Thanks, Tim. Ingrid, behind you over there.
I'm making one announcement concerning a matter of my health. Some of you know that that a date for my surgery has been settled. My body is now ready to respond positively to the surgeon's knife. The date of the surgery is February the 16th. I'm aware that there have been people within the congregation who have been praying for me, and I think that's great. In the Epistle of James, James himself says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." The same is true for righteous women, and the same thing for a righteous congregation. So I covet your prayers, because let's see what God can do.
Is there anyone else? I have a few other announcements to touch on. We have a special request to please keep Peter Hirschfeld and his family in our prayers. As Peter's been readmitted to St. Boniface, his infection became a concern again, resulting in readmission. And also, on the other side of the news spectrum, proud great-grandparents Bill and Herta Bullinger like to announce the surprise arrival on January 8th of Nolan John Doucette, great-grandchild. Parents are Tim and Caitlin Doucette. And we all thank God for his safe arrival. And there is an update on Tree Harris from her grandfather. It's in the bulletin board at the back. And my bulletin is hard to read at one part here, but we would like to thank the care group that took care of the setup and the Christmas decorations. Yes, the Christmas decorations were very beautiful this year, so thank you to those who set up and took down and took care of the decorations. And I have one more announcement, a sad announcement. Leonard Lage passed away yesterday, brother to Rudy and father to Charles. and their related families. So keep those families in our prayers as well. And now at this time, it is the children's story. So front, Ingrid has a story for you down over in this area here.
Good morning. I have a book today. It's called Horton Hatches the Egg, because the grown-ups are going to be talking about complaining again. And so today, we're going to talk about another way that you could act or respond instead of complaining. So this is it's a long book, so I won't read all the words, but we'll just look at the pictures. So it starts off with Horton the elephant meeting a bird, and the bird, her name is Maisie, and she doesn't want to sit on her egg. So she asks Horton to do it, please. And then if any of you know Horton, he says, "I said what I meant, and I meant what I said, and an elephant's faithful 100%. So does anyone know what faithful means? Oh, Jalen. That's right. It means that they're always true to their word. So what they say is what they mean. So let's see what it costs Horton to mean what he says. So Maisie leaves to go to somewhere warm and sunny, and we all understand why she would want to do that. And then Horton sets up the tree so that he can sit on it, on the nest, without breaking the nest and the tree. And he's looking pretty happy and proud of himself, isn't he? Yeah, he's faithful. Oh, what's happening now? It's raining. He's not looking so happy. But is he still being faithful? Yes. And there we see Maisie. She looks happy too, but she's at the beach. No egg. Oh, look at Horton now. It's snowing. Is he being faithful? Yes, he's being faithful. And now it's springtime, and he's got another problem. He still looks pretty happy, though. The problem is his friends are all laughing at him. But is he still being faithful? Yeah. And here comes another problem. What's the problem? Hunters are coming. Is he still being faithful? He looks a little worried. But now look at him. Even with hunters trying to shoot him, is he being faithful? Yeah, he's a very faithful person. And then they see how faithful he is, and they decide, oh, they're not going to kill him. They're going to go show other people what a faithful elephant looks like. So he has to go on a big, long trip over a mountain. Oh, he's still being faithful, even though he's seasick on a boat. And now they take him to a dock, and they're going to sell him to the circus. Is he still faithful on the egg? He is, poor Horton. And here comes Maisie. And she sees Horton, and she says, oh, I think that egg's just about ready to hatch. Maybe I'll just kick him off. And so he gets off the egg because he promised he'd give it back. He looks a little sad, though, but he's still being faithful, right? And the egg hatches, and I want you to look very carefully at what comes out of that egg. Does it look like Maisie, or does it look like Horton? It looks like Horton. So Horton was faithful, and in the end, he has a little baby elephant bird. Pretty cool, hey? So I think we always have to have a lesson because it's children's story at church. I think being faithful, even though it looks like there's no plan, our job is to be faithful no matter what's happening around us. Can we remember that? Awesome. Can we bow our heads, please? Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful world we live in. Please help us to stay faithful no matter what. Amen. And I do believe there's Sunday school today. No Sunday school? Yes, there is Sunday school. So some of you need to go back to your parents, and some of you can go to Sunday school, or if you want to try Sunday school, you can try Sunday school. It's up to Mom and Dad. Okay, you go ask your mom.
Okay. All right. Please bow with me in prayer. O faithful God, keeper of an everlasting covenant, we confess that we are a faithless people. Again and again we turn away from you. Left to ourselves, we would gain the whole world and lose our souls. Forgive our sin. And we pray today for those who have lost loved ones and for those who are undergoing surgeries and unknown health situations. And we also pray for those who are celebrating new births and young children, and for all that is in between all those parts of life, we celebrate that and acknowledge that as well. Restore us in mercy, O God. Teach us to be faithful and true, to love you above all else, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now we will have another song. Everlasting, I believe it is called.
From everlasting to everlasting. Okay, there shall be snares in your life, so watch out. One of the great joys and privileges that come my way this occasionally is to be part of a children's dedication. You know why I call it joy and privilege is because I think it is the most beautiful thing when we not only acknowledge the children, but welcome them, embrace them, and hope for them. There was a time, even in Mennonite churches, where they thought that children should be seen but not heard. Well, if your children cry today, I say, yay. I got the mic. I'm going to be louder than you, but that is welcome. Never push them back. In Jesus' time, children were excluded from worship service. And they were not really valued in their society until they reached a certain age. And you know, Jesus changed that whole attitude for his followers when he said, "Let the children come to me, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." So would you, the parents and the children, join me up here. This morning, these parents have come to dedicate themselves and their children to the care and guidance of God. But this dedication goes way beyond the parents and their children, and involves all of us. The grandparents, the great-grandparents, the uncles and aunts, but more than that, the whole church, because we are your family as well. This morning, we are invited to commit ourselves to be an example to these children and an encouragement to their parents in every situation that life may bring their way. We are called to commit ourselves to support them through prayer, helping, and understanding. Today, we are telling these parents that they are not alone in their parenting. We, as their church family, will stand with them. So, I address the parents. As parents, you have already experienced the joy that children can bring into your home. To be given the opportunity to guide the life of a child is an incredible compliment that God has given you. Today, you are saying before God and all of us that you want to teach your children to know and to love God, so that one day they will also choose to love and follow Him. By being here today, you are saying that you take seriously the task of guiding your children and their lives in the way of God. So I ask you, do you accept your child as a gift of God? If so, say, we do. Do you commit yourself to model in your lives the way of Jesus for your child to follow? If so, say, we do. Will you raise your child in the knowledge of God, teaching them the stories of God's love and invitation to life? If so, say, we will. I will now.
Please stand and join me as part of the congregation, opening your blue hymnals to number 791 as we commit in turn to the parents and their children. You have offered your child. Please join me. You have offered your child to the strong and tender providence of God. We rejoice with you and give thanks for the gift of your child. We promise with humility and seriousness to share in your child's nurture and well-being. We will support by our example and words your efforts to provide a loving and caring home, where trust in God grows and Christ's way is chosen. Our prayers will be with you and for you. May our shared life and witness help make your task both joyful and fruitful. Thank you.
Please be seated. I say to the parents, may the God who has entrusted you with this child grant you love and parenting, faithfulness and modeling the way of the kingdom. And to the child, may the God of love and compassion, the God who created you, who sent his Son to redeem you, and his Spirit to live in you, watch over you and keep you safe as you grow. May God enable you to seek, find, and grow to know him. In Jesus' name, amen. I just woke her up. Yes. Claire, may the God who created you and who sent his Son to redeem you send his Spirit to live in you, watch over you and keep you safe as you grow. May God enable you to seek, find, and grow to know him.
Simon, may the God who created you and sent his Son to redeem you and his Spirit to live in you, watch over you and keep you safe as you grow. May God enable you to seek, to find, and to grow to know him. Amen.
All right. I'm going to call upon any family members and friends who would like to come up, and anybody from the congregation who would like to come up, and just put your arms around them, and we're going to do a little prayer for them. All right. Gracious God, like a father who nurtures his children, you have cared for us. Like a mother, you have called us by name and claimed us as your own. You have loved us into being, placed us in human families, and blessed us on our journey. By the presence of your Spirit, consecrate these children and their parents, Timothy and Alexandra Colosimo with Emma Ray, Matthew and Jessica Rohde with Claire Margaret, Tim and Stephanie Wenger with Simon Albert, for the journey together through life. May God bless you and keep you. May the face of God shine on you and be gracious to you. May God's presence embrace you and give you peace. Amen.
That's definitely one of my favorite things that we do in the church, welcoming families and children into our congregation. Oh, sorry, we're taking the offering at this time as well.
I will declare my joys to the nations. I will shout for joy in the congregation. I will worship God, worship God. All my days, those who love the Lord are satisfied. Those who trust in Him are justified. I will serve my God, serve my God. All my days, when the nations tremble,
the word of the Lord will stand.
Kings may rise and fall.
His love will endure.
His love will endure.
Today's reading is from Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 12 to 2, verse 4. Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, you will never die. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute a judgment. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? You have made people like the fish in the sea, like the sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls all of them up with hooks. He catches them in his net. He gathers them up in his dragnet. And so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore he sacrifices to his net and burns incense to his dragnet. For by his net he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest food. Is he to keep on emptying his net, destroying nations without mercy? I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. The Lord's answer. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness.
To see all of you here this morning. Just like to let those of you who aren't regulars know that we actually do this every Sunday. You're welcome. So, seriously, how do you hook up Habakkuk and the stuff we've just heard Phil read with parent-child dedication. My understanding, I've got to tell you this, was that Tim and Steph were going to name their son Habakkuk, and we were going to tie it all together, but I tried to pull together some of the what the text says about the evil people with the way that children mess with us and wrap us around their finger, but it got to be a bit of a stretch. So the point of connection here is that this passage is about how we follow the way of God. Now, Habakkuk, if you're reading through your Bible, if you're looking for it, it's in the entrance there. It tells you what page. Habakkuk is, in my Bible, less than 20 pages from the Gospels. And so some of you are thinking, boy, we almost made it. The Gospels, all these wonderful stories about Jesus and the letters of Paul and Peter and John and others. What do we do in Habakkuk? Well, it's a very simple answer. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, he said, the whole Bible, cover to cover, is God-breathed. Don't you love that? It just kind of comes out. All of it, including Habakkuk. Paul doesn't say including Habakkuk, that was me. That the whole thing is God-breathed, and as we read it, we learn to understand God and his love for us and how he invites us to follow him. And so if we don't read this and study it, we are missing something. So the question isn't, why do we study it? The question is, how do we understand it? So one of the ways we understand it is by hiring Franz to stand up here and explain it to us, which he did a masterful job last week. And the other way, very briefly, I remember in seminary, one of my profs telling me, if you want to read your Bible, put away the books about the Bible, your commentaries and such. Pull out your Bible, a piece of paper and a pencil. Roll up your sleeves, because this is going to be work. And you just go through it in a simple inductive way. What does it say? I always put it on a separate piece of paper. I make scribble notes. You begin to read through it and you say, hey, just a minute. He used that same word here, there, in the next place. And you begin to tie things together. And trust me on this. Yet after about an hour, you're just at the front of your seat, even with Habakkuk. It is so exciting. So, Habakkuk. A brief overview of what he's done so far. So at the beginning, last week, Franz talked about chapter 1, 1 to 11. It starts off by Habakkuk saying to God, God, your people aren't playing nice. They're not being just. They're not treating everybody the way you want them to. They're not following your way. God says, yeah, I noticed that. So I'm going to send the Babylonians down to teach them a lesson. And in our passage today, he says, whoa, 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 God. Isn't that kind of like phoning the school bully to come beat up your kid because they didn't make their bed? This is a little overkill here. Let's ratchet this back. And God says, not my first rodeo. We got this. We're going somewhere. Hang in there. You'll see it. And next week, Franz is going to explain the five woes in a meaningful way. And the following week, we've saved the easy passage for Tim as he shares with us, pulls it all together in a life-transforming way. No pressure, Tim. Last week, Franz talked about justice and righteousness. And he talked about and the importance of that and how righteousness is an outgrowth of justice which comes in the Old Testament by law and the New Testament by grace. And he talked a little bit about how we create God in our own image. The gospel according to Gary. If God would follow that, it would make my life easier. And how when things happen, we become disappointed with God. God's not doing what he said. And we look a little carefully and it's what we told God he's supposed to do. And he also talked about how when we go through difficult times in life, it's not God punishing us. God walks with us through the hard times too. Today on first blush, it looks like it's saying that is God really just? And then it's asking the question of theodicy. Thought I'd throw that in for the CMU students. Where is God when evil happens? And he asks the question about our doubt. But we want to just kind of go down a few layers and saying what's really going on in this passage. And there's two things that he's saying here. The first one has to do with the character of God. Who is God? And the second one is a question about how we respond to that God. So, for the first one, Habakkuk starts by saying to God, you are eternal. What's he saying? Saying that God's been here before whatever's come up has come up. He was there before the Babylonians and the Egyptians and the Philistines and whoever else. God's just been there. It's a steady, a constant, always there. And so he's saying, ah, yeah, God, I'm looking for you and saying, what's going on? But you've been there through history and we know we can depend on you. A couple of years ago, my goodness, 25 years ago, it is a couple of, when I was in seminary, I remember there was a bit of a difficult time going on in our life. I was taking an extra course to try and get my studies done. We were candidating at a church. We had two daughters who were born. They had ear infections for 3 months. Funny what happens to you when you don't sleep. They turned out wonderful. and it sounds small now, but at that time, it just really felt like life was coming unglued. You ever had that feeling? That whatever it is, whether it's too much work or too many children or not enough sleep or health issues, life feels like it's coming unglued. And what do we say? Where is God? Where is God? And I remember reading, I believe it was Ben Olenberger's doctoral dissertation, and in there he addresses Psalm 46. Now, Psalm 46 starts by saying, though the mountains fall into the sea, you know the passage? And the cosmology of the day, what they believed then, is that there's this great big lake going on, which is chaos. If you get in there, you're toast. And out of this ocean or lake comes these mountains, and on top of the mountains is built the earth. And so you can figure out what happens if the mountains crumble, right? We're all done. And so the psalmist says, even though it feels like the things that are holding your life up are falling apart, God's there. In fact, if you go through to verse 11, there's a verse that probably you all know. Be still and know that I am God. Not be still once everything's done. In the midst of the mess of life, when it feels like everything's had it, when your health is gone, your finances are gone, your friends have passed away, whatever it is that shakes you up, in the middle of that, we calm down because God is eternal. He was there before everything messed up. He'll be there after. He's going to hold our hand through this. God is eternal. Over the years, as I've gotten to know some of you fairly well, and I've listened to your stories, I've been really touched by the way you talk about how, whether it was a childhood in Russia, or whether it was health issues, or financial collapse, or whatever it was, you walk through that, and as you tell me the stories, behind it was a sense of security that you had. And I am moved. I'm deeply touched as I listen to you. Because like Habakkuk, you say, we didn't know we'd make it, but we always knew that God was there. Amazing. The second thing that Habakkuk says is that God is holy. God's got a purpose that he's doing. And you know what God's purpose is? To bring us all in. To adopt the lot of us as his children. That's his goal. Sin got us off track. God's been working ever since at getting us on track. Not punitive, not angry, not out there to try and hurt us. God is always, always, always redemptive. Everything that happens that God's doing, it's there to draw us back. Never to punish us for making mistakes. Never to try and hurt us or trick us. Always, always to bring us back. I don't know about you, but I grew up thinking that the Old Testament was the angry God. You know, he's going around starting wars and punishing people and seeming to enjoy it. The New Testament, we got the good part of God. Jesus, that's wonderful. The Holy Spirit, not sure, a bit weird. Then we get into Revelation, back to the angry God, out there to just swing in his war axe to see what he can do. Not sure where I got that, but by your smiles, I'm guessing some of you thought that too. What's the Bible say? Do you know what the most common word used to describe God in the Old Testament is? Loving kindness. Isn't that great? Loving kindness. There's a rabbinic story that comes out of the, you know, when the children of Israel went through the Red Sea. and the Red Sea parted, and they go through, and then the Egyptians come in. And if you read Exodus 15, it's called the Song of the Sea, written by Miriam, and the sea closes in, and everybody, all the Israelites are standing on the shore, you know, singing and doing the hokey pokey or something, all excited. But the rabbinic tradition goes this way. It says, as the waters closed in over the Egyptians, God wept. I had to ponder on that for a while. God's work of redemption is for everyone. And when it doesn't work that way, God weeps. Marvelous. Into the New Testament, of course, we know that the story, God, Jesus' intention, again, to bring us all home. And we see all of the aspects of God, God's mercy and love and grace and judgment and justice, and all this thing wrapped up in the concept of love. Even in the book of Revelation, there's a marvelous picture. I've come to see the book of Revelation as another gospel. It's there to explain who Jesus is and to invite us in. There's a, from chapter 6 to 19, there's all this wild stuff going on. And in there, you may remember, if you've read this, it says, and a third was destroyed, and a half was destroyed, and so forth. After each one of those, it says, and still the people did not repent. What's going on? God has been holding back the consequences of our poor decisions, of our sin. And now he's letting his hands back and letting us feel the consequences for what end? To bring us back. Everything God does is redemptive. God is holy, focused. The third thing that we see is that God is in control. God says to Habakkuk, I got it here. We're leading something somewhere. And God is. He's leading us, well, as one song put it, from garden to garden. He's leading us through to the point where he brings everything together as God intended things to be. Our part. We could take a look a little bit at the negative aspect of, you know, don't be like the Babylonians, but let's focus on the positive. In the middle of verse 4, it says, the righteous will live by faith or by their faithfulness. What is he saying? What he's saying is, he's saying that he is inviting us to respond to this God with faith. We respond by following this God, not our wealth, not our intellect, not our good looks, well, for some of you, not whatever it might be, our power, our wealth, our position, our culture, our tradition. No, we put our faith in God. And God is the one who leads us. Now, something very interesting happens. If you want the full edition of this, we'll try and make it available somewhere, but we're trying to watch the clock a little. What is happening is that we live in a place in between what God intended, the promise, or how it was, and what it will be. And in between, it's not just sitting there and waiting. It's living out our faith in righteousness, following the way of Jesus, which means a lot of things. One of the things it means for me that I've tried to take seriously is that I also need to live redemptively. And that means that when I visit or talk with or about people, everything is done in a way that invites them to be part of the kingdom, right? That cuts out all the fun stuff in life, like gossip. And we begin to see people differently. What we see in this in-between time is that not only do we kind of clench our teeth and hang on to make it through, but we experience a little bit of heaven now. As we become God's children and he fills us with his Holy Spirit, we begin to experience, as Jesus says, the kingdom has come. Not fully. It's the already, it's here in us, and the not yet. And we experience that within ourselves as we experience the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us and giving us joy and affirming within us, as Paul says again in Romans 8, that we are children of God. Do you know how else he does it? By giving us each other. We are, as I have said frequently, if you take a just glance to your left and right, we are God's best gift to each other. And he draws us together to encourage us, to tell us we're going to be okay, to put an arm around when life is hard, to celebrate life as we did today. All of those things he gives us now. And so the church is meant to be a little bit of heaven. Stuff's going on all around us. And we know that there's stuff to sort out yet. And not everything is good. And we still go through pain in our life. With the pain of loss, the pain of, you know, health issues, of finances, all those things. We still go through that. But here in the middle, in the meantime, we are invited to follow the way of Jesus and experience the joy of being God's people. Habakkuk is inviting us to take seriously the God who is there, the God who is eternal, the God who is holy, the God who's got control of things, and respond by following in his way. And the result? We experience a tremendous sense of hope. We're going to make it. I know as many of you go through various issues in your life, we're going to make it. But also to experience the joy that reflects the presence of God. May God give you a deep sense of joy and peace and hope as you continue to faithfully follow, embracing the wonderful gift of children and the other things that God places before you as gifts.
Who will ascend God's holy mountain? Who will abide in his presence? He who is clean and is pure in heart, who does not lift up his soul to any idol, or speak what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God. He will be of a generation who seeks the Lord, who seeks his face, the God of Jacob, who seeks his face, the God of your heads, you ancient doors. Lift up your heads, that the King of Glory may come in. 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 Who will ascend God's holy mountain? Who will abide in his presence? He who is clean and is pure in heart, who does not lift up his soul to any idol, or speak what is false. He will receive blessings from the Lord, and vindication from God. He will be of a generation who seeks the Lord, who seeks his face, the God of Jacob, who seeks his face, the God of all. So lift up your head, the King of Glory may come in, that the King of Glory may come in, that the King of Glory may come in.
Final song. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
You are King of creation and Lord.